Find something of value.
The higher education community in South Africa reflected on the intellectualization.
How central this humanity is.
Welcome to The Academic Citizen. I'm your host, Mahita Ikhani. It gives me great happiness to welcome you back to our 2024 season, which is all about how sound matters. In November 2023, this humble podcast hosted a virtual symposium with the support of the South African Research Chair in Science Communication and the South African Journal of Science. Over 2 days, researchers interested in some aspect of sound and its relation to the Knowledge Production and Dissemination Project came together online to share their work. My beloved co-host, Dr. Nosipho Mgomezulu, whose dulcet voice you will be hearing in future episodes in this season, and I have curated a selection of the symposium presentations to share with the wider world right here on The Academic Citizen. We hope that you enjoy this season. I, for one, am very excited about experimenting with how to translate symposium proceedings into podcast form, and we'd welcome your feedback on this experiment. Each episode in the season ahead will feature one of the talks from the symposium. The first that we will share with you from the Sound Matters is about the universe. Nothing major, just the entire universe. Did you ever do that thing as a child when you wrote down your address, starting with all the normal things, your house number, street, suburb, town, province, country, but then also maybe added your continent, your planet, and then the galaxy, and maybe the Milky Way, and ending with an underlined and capitalized the universe? I did. The talk you're about to hear is kind of an audio postcard from outer space. It was titled A Universe of Sound, Processing NASA Data into Sonifications to Explore Participant Response. It was presented by Sarah Kane, a PhD researcher in astronomy at Cambridge University, on behalf of her co-authors, Dr. Kimberly Arkand, Jessica Schoenhut-Stasek, Dr. Gwyn Sturdivant, Dr. Matt Russo, Megan Watzke, Brian Say, and Professor Lisa F. Smith. Together, all of these very clever people are collaborators in a research project exploring the outreach and communications efficacy of data sonifications in astronomy. This is part of a research project called The Universe of Sound, which you can check out online at https://chandra.si.edu/sound. Don't worry if you missed that. We'll also include it in our show notes on our website at theacademiccitizen.org. Right, so what are data sonifications? As Sarah will explain shortly, these are representations of data as sound. Alongside the visual representations of the universe, which translate telescope data into beautiful and alluring images of space, some of which you may be familiar with from popular science media, sonifications translate that very same data into sound. Perhaps the best thing is to immediately play one for you. What you've just heard is, and I'm quoting to you now from the Universe of Sound website, the remains of a supernova called Cassiopeia A, or Cass-A. In Cass-A, the sounds are mapped to four elements found in the debris from the exploded star, as well as other high-energy data. The distribution of silicon, sulfur, calcium, and iron are revealed moving outward from the center of the remnant, starting from the location of the neutron star, in four different directions, with intensity controlling the volume. This piece was one of the sonifications that was used in the participant response study that Sarah and colleagues undertook. So to understand more about the role that data sonifications can play in astronomy outreach, let's go straight to Sarah's talk.
Hi, my name is Sarah Kane. I'm a PhD student at the Institute of Astronomy at the University of Cambridge, and I will be presenting some work I did alongside my colleagues, Dr. Kim Arkand, Jess Stasek, Dr. Gwynne Sturtevant, and others regarding participant responses to sonifications of NASA data. Now, it would be something of an understatement to say that sonifications, or representations of data as sound as opposed to visualizations, in astronomy have become pretty popular recently. There's a mountain of articles coming out, a lot of popularity. And so in the face of this growing popularity of astronomical data sonifications, our goal was to explore both how the general population and how members of the blind low vision, or BLV, community in particular perceive sonifications. And in particular, we are interested in how sonifications affected these people's enjoyment, exploration, and how much they learn in astronomy outreach. So we're coming at sonification, or sound representations of data, from the perspective of an outreach tool, but also an accessibility tool that allows us to include a community, the blind low vision community, that has historically been excluded from astronomy via the reliance on visual media for communication. Now, to explore these research questions, we designed a survey where we played our participants three sonifications of data from a NASA telescope, the Chandra X-ray Telescope, of three different astronomical objects. These objects were the Galactic Center, I'll play you that sonification in a second, Cassiopeia A, and the Chandra Deep Field South. It is a NASA project called A Universe of Sound. The project is led by Dr. Kim Arkand and Dr. Matt Russo, both of whom are co-authors on this study. And it seeks to, again, represent as sound or sonify data from NASA telescopes. The sonification I'm about to play for you now is the one that we played first for our participants in the survey. This is the Galactic Center. Now, this sonification is a full video for participants who can see, and also was accompanied by this caption, which I will read for you now, that explains a bit about how the sonification works. This is the Galactic Center of our very own Milky Way galaxy. The translation begins on the left side of the image and moves to the right, with the sounds representing the position and brightness of the sources. The light of objects located toward the top of the image are heard as higher pitches, while the intensity of the light controls the volume. Stars and compact sources are converted to individual notes, while extended clouds of gas and dust produce an evolving drone. The crescendo happens when we reach the bright region to the lower right of the image. This is where the 4 billion solar mass supermassive black hole in the center of the galaxy, which we call Sagittarius A star, resides, and where the clouds of gas and dust are the brightest. And here is the sonification. Played these sonifications for participants in the survey, and we also asked them three types of questions. First, we asked some general demographic questions about their age and education level and whether or not they were blind or low vision. Then, after each individual sonification, so for instance, in our case, after hearing the Galactic Center sonification, for instance, we asked the participants to rate their learning and enjoyment and their overall experience with that sonification. And then finally, after listening to all three sonifications, we asked the participants about their overall experience with the sonifications. And this included some open-ended questions where the participants could ask questions about how the sonifications were made or provide feedback. We distributed this survey via the Chandra website. That's the telescope from which this data comes from. We also used Astronomy Picture of the Day, various digital newsletters, and some social media. Here is an overall summary of our respondents, broken down by blind and low vision versus sighted, and then also by self-reported knowledge of astronomy. We have far more sighted participants than blind or low vision. That's not surprising given the distribution of the population. And we have a general skew towards people who have a casual or hobby interest in astronomy. Overall, we have a large sample of responses here. Now I'm going to move straight into the responses we got to the individual questions. So again, we asked this type of question each time the participants heard a sonification. So in this case, we asked them to rate on a scale from 1 to 5 how much they learned about the object, in our case, the galactic center, through the experience of listening to the sonification of the data. Our participants mostly said they agree or agree strongly, rating 4 or 5, that they learned more about the object from listening to the sonification. Participants reported learning the most from the deep field sonification, maybe because that was the last sonification they heard of the three, and so they were most familiar with them by that point. We also performed a KS test on the blind, low vision, and sighted responses for each sonification to determine the probability that these responses were drawn from the same underlying distribution. And you can see from the p-value from the KS test for Cassiopeia A in particular that there is a statistically significant difference between the blind low vision and sighted group, with the blind low vision group reporting that they learned more than the sighted group at a statistically significant rate. We also asked similarly after each sonification for participants to rate how much they enjoyed the experience of listening to the sonification on a scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being enjoyed most. The results here are graphed in the same conventions as the previous ones, broken down by the individual sonification responses and also the blind, low vision, and sighted groups. The average response for all groups for all sonifications is greater than 4, indicating that everyone enjoys sonifications. The blind, low vision, and sighted groups are quite similar in their responses here. Again, we take this to mean that people just generally like sonifications in astronomy outreach. These were popular. People enjoyed them. Next, I'd like to move into some of the overall questions that we ask participants. So these are questions that we asked after they had listened to all three sonifications. We asked them, again, rating from a scale to 1 to 5, how much they agreed with these prompts, to rate whether they were motivated to listen more, interested in learning more about the universe, and learning more about how other people access information about the universe. We note that regarding the prompt about being motivated to listen more, that both groups mostly seem motivated to listen more. This is consistent with the fact that they enjoyed the sonifications. They enjoyed them, they want to listen more. However, we get really interesting results when we move into the latter two prompts regarding learning about the universe and accessing information about the universe. And this is where we see a statistically significant difference between the blind, low vision, and sighted groups once again, with the blind, low vision group reporting wanting to learn more about the universe as compared to their sighted counterparts. We also, as a fun sort of thing, asked our participants to give us up to 3 words that described their emotional response to the sonifications. And so we have a really lovely word cloud of these responses, where some of the largest and most prominent and thus most common words we got among the responses were awe and calm and curiosity. But we also got a lot of wonder and beautiful and happy and excited. This is a really lovely response to see because these are the sorts of emotions we typically want to evoke when we share astronomy outreach. I feel a little biased as an astronomy PhD student, but astronomy is a science that inspires this sense of awe and wonder. And we want to share that when we do astronomy outreach. And so it is very promising to see that our sonifications inspire these same sorts of responses. So some of our key takeaways here are first that both blind, low vision, and sighted groups enjoy astronomical sonifications. This is an incentive to continue to include sonifications, so sonic representations of data, in astronomy outreach as opposed to purely visual media. We also note that blind, low vision, and sighted users report learning from the sonifications, though the blind, low vision group sometimes reports learning more. This is also really valuable information because it tells us that sonification is not only an outreach tool, but is also an education tool. And that's especially powerful, again, for a group that is perhaps historically excluded from some educational tools like images and graphs. And finally, we note that both groups generally want to learn more about the universe after listening to the sonifications, but again, the blind low vision groups wants to learn about the universe even more than their sighted counterparts. We take this to mean that sonification has a great deal of potential as an accessibility tool, opening astronomy to a group that has been historically excluded from the field via the use of visual media. I would like to end with a few acknowledgments of our colleagues at NASA, at Chandra, at the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory and Astronomy Picture of the Day, who helped us either by providing the data that was sonified or by distributing the survey. Thank you.
What I loved about this research, and Sarah's elegant presentation of it, was how it really challenged and opened up my thinking about how data can be packaged into analytical form in multiple modes of communication. We're all familiar with the visual methods of communicating our findings in many fields of science: graphs, charts, infographics, and of course, the ubiquitous PowerPoint slide. But of course, not all people can see. Data sonifications create new pathways into engaging with astronomy data for blind and low-sighted people. While there's nothing inherently wrong, of course, with visual modes of presenting data, they can be exclusionary, and good academic citizens surely want to make their work as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. Data sonifications offer a beautiful pathway of accessibility into a domain of science that has been, so far, dominated by the very flashy and glamorous image composites of telescope data. This makes me wonder about how data sonifications could be useful in other domains of science and scientific inquiry to share and present our findings more widely. As you heard in the talk, Sarah and colleagues did, however, still use images to give us an indication of how their over 3,400 participants responded to the three sonifications that were played for them. I really like how, being in podcast form, we were invited to really listen to how the significance of the survey data was explained. You, dear listener, didn't see the charts and graphs that Sarah presented to us in the online symposium, but hopefully through her verbal explication of them, you got the picture. Sorry about the bad pun. Maybe because visual modes of communicating data and findings are used so often by scientists of all stripes and disciplines, there's perhaps a tendency on the part of the receivers of those visual communications of data to sometimes tune them out or not look at them terribly closely. I'll often want to look at a graph or some other kind of infographic once, maybe twice, quite quickly, just to get a sense of the content and what it means. And when it comes to the images of space, as dazzling as some of them are, I often also don't return to them more than once. But I've found that with data sonifications, I do keep returning. I've been listening to that sonic representation of the center of the Milky Way galaxy on repeat lately. It's just so beautiful. It makes me feel like I understand something more about this galaxy that we're a part of. It's hard to put that understanding into words. It's kind of like poetry, but without the lyrics. It's like music, but eternal. There's something quite powerful about the way that these data sonifications made me pause, close my eyes, tune in, listen, really listen. As you can tell, like many of Sarah and colleagues' survey participants, both blind or low vision and sighted, I really loved the sonifications. They made me feel somehow more connected with the idea of the universe. than those nevertheless awe-inspiring composite images produced from astronomy data. They made me feel something in the middle of my chest, like maybe that there is a connection between that space inside me and capital S space out there. To close out, have a listen to this, the third of the sonifications that was played for Sarah and colleagues' survey participants. It represents, and I quote again from the Chandra website, the deepest image ever taken in X-rays, representing over 7 million seconds of Chandra observing time, thereby comprising a picture of black holes and galaxies. It is effectively an audio representation of the furthest we've ever been able to observe into the Chandra deep field south. The image shows a bunch of dots of lights of different sizes and colors on a black background, kind of standard representation of space. But this, well, the only thing to do is listen. This episode of The Academic Citizen was hosted by me, Mahita Ikani. It was produced and promoted by Fumani Dwara and edited by Andrew Burnett. The Academic Citizen is funded by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, which is in turn funded by the South African National Research Foundation. We thank Sarah Kane for her presentation at Sound Matters Symposium in November 2023, and we also thank all her co-authors for their permission to include their work on our podcast. Sound Matters was co-hosted by the South African Journal of Science. The talk you heard was a report on part of research conducted in the Universe of Sound project, which is a collaboration between NASA, the Chandra X-ray Center, the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory, Dr. Kimberly Arkand, System Sounds, Dr. Matt Russo and Andrew Santaguida, and NASA's Universe of Learning. You can find out more at https://chandra.si.edu/sound. We thank them for allowing us to include their sonifications on this podcast. You can listen to all our podcasts, including our archive of previous seasons, at www.theacademiccitizen.org, and you can follow us on all the socials at The Academic Citizen. We welcome feedback on our email address, theacademiccitizen@gmail.com.